ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Connecting the Dots. It must be 6 o'clock, Mountain Time, Denver, Colorado. You are listening to Connecting the Dots, your host, Frosty Wooldridge. And each week we bring you something new, someone new, a new voice out there, another voice standing up and speaking out. I think it was the great writer, one of the American icons, Mark Twain, who said that the patriot is the hated and scorned man, but when his cause succeeds, however, even the timid join him. And that's what we hope happens here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You really get a chance to listen to some pretty amazing people and some voices out there that are just like you, grumbling and rumbling, can't get a word in edgewise because of everything that's going on across the world and across the United States. And all of a sudden you get somebody that's speaking up on Republic Broadcasting who's talking, feeling, saying, expressing exactly what you're feeling and talking and saying at the card game or certainly at the grocery store or there at the bar or wherever you are. There's somebody appreciating what you appreciate. And as we bring these things to the forefront each week, we also empower you by allowing you, encouraging you, and facilitating your actions. And one of the great philosophers said that conviction without action is worthless, and at the same time, conviction married to action changes history. And down through time, that has happened many times, whether it's Susan B. Anthony, whether it's Chris Simcox, whether it's Jim Gilchrist, whether it's Betsy Ross, Dr. Martin Luther King, Amelia Earhart, Gandhi, certainly Winston Churchill. History is filled with Charles Lindbergh's, Andrew Carnegie's, John Jacob Astor, J.P. Morgan. Some of these people are characters that we may not like as much. At the same time, they made some magnificent historical changes to history because of their purpose, because of their actions. So tonight, we're going to have another person on that's going to help give you an appreciation for and understanding of what we face as we jump into this next added 100 million Americans. I haven't heard yet, though, about Senate Bill 1348, whether or not the cloture vote failed so that it can't come up for any kind of a vote. It failed in the afternoon, and we were hoping that it failed at 5 tonight, but I don't know the information on that. And so this evening, we're going to talk about the ramifications of adding this next 100 million people. And for those of you who have not joined the show in the previous time slots, I'd like to make sure that you have that pencil and paper out and that you will be able to take action. And if you can, if you will, you can go to newswithviews.com, mortyscabin.com, rinse.com, federalobserver.com, opednews.com, and americanchronicle.com. A lot of the materials that I'm working on and writing are in those news service websites. Today, news.com, newswithviews.com, you'll see the platform that will elect the next president of the United States. And it's just a down-to-earth appreciation for men like Ron Paul, certainly Tom Tancredo, and others who are just standing up and saying, here's what I'm going to do. So you're listening once again to Connecting the Dots, your host, Frosty Wooldridge, and we'll be right back after these commercial comments. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered. Our esteemed elders are euthanized. and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us at Connecting the Dots. I just want to make sure that you know that the pledge drive is going on and that I will give you the information further into the program concerning the pledge drive. And for those of you who would like to get a 21st Century Paul Revere ride, in fact, my guest this evening is a member of the 21st Century Paul Revere ride. And I've got quite a few letters today about folks that had seen us across the country on the 21st Century Paul Revere ride and those T-shirts. And if you'd like to get one of them, $15, check your money order to 21st Century Paul Revere Ride. Send it to P.O. Box 207. That's P.O. Box 207, Louisville, Colorado, 80027. And just to state your size, make sure you have a return address and everything, and that will be sent out the next day, and you'll have a T-shirt that will create more dialogue, more conversation, more interest than you ever thought possible at the rec center, walking down the street, walking into a mall. And if you go take it to church, it'll really ruffle some feathers, but it'll create discussion. And I wear mine all the time and get just a lot of fun. And most of the time, virtually all the time, everybody agrees. Gosh darn it, let's stop illegal immigration. Ask me how is what the front of it says. You can go to the website, 21stCenturyPaulRevereRide.us, and you can see the shirt there and the back where it has the great logo, the United States, and Paul Revere with the lantern galloping across the eastern seaboard, three motorcycles in hot pursuit, and the summer of 2006. It's a great, great, and it's got numbersusa.com on there, shows people what to do. So if that interests you, by all means, jump onto that. Also, make sure that you go to such websites as thefirecoalition.com and numbersusa.com, thesocialcontract.com, PatriotUnion.org. Please check that out. Fair as FAIRUS.org. ALIPAC.US with William Gein. That's Alipac.US. FairUS.org, of course, with Dan Stein. CarryingCapacity.org. That's CarryingCapacity.org. And MinutemanHQ.com. So the key is to get active, get involved. And also, for those of you who want to see the series, and we're going to be talking about Chapter 4 tonight, the next added 100 million Americans, you can check it out on AmericanChronicle.com, NewsWithViews.com, and really give yourself an appreciation for what we face as a nation, what we face as a civilization, what we face as a language and a culture, and certainly on the environmental front, what we face if we allow another 100 million people added to the United States of America. So without further ado, and hold those phone calls until the bottom of the hour, we have a guest that I have become quite fond of. He is my friend. He's from Boulder, Colorado. He is an original 21st century Paul Revere writer. He's a physicist. He's ex-military, and he has traveled the world, seen a lot of sights, done a lot of things, has a tremendous amount of expertise, and he's the man who we can count on to really bring this next added 100 million Americans ramifications right up to the forefront of your consciousness. I'd really like to welcome Don McKee. Don, thanks for joining the show tonight.
It's my great honor, Frosty.
Well, you know, I don't know, and I haven't, just before we get into this Killing Our Oceans, Part 4 of the next added 100 million Americans, have you heard anything on 1348 as far as the cloture vote, yes or up or down or no? I just haven't been able to find out here at this particular hour.
You know, it's interesting that you would ask me that question for the benefit of your listeners all over the country. We had a tiny little windstorm in Boulder last night, and we've got 12,000 homes without power, including mine. So I'm totally handicapped. I can't look at the television or the C-SPAN. And I don't know the answer to that question. I did watch it late last night. There was a whole lot of activity. The Senate worked till midnight. But I don't know what happened on cloture today.
Okay, well, we do know that I know because I listened to the fact that it turned 66 to 33. And so they didn't have the 60. It was 33. And so they didn't have the votes to go on and create cloture, which means they would go on and vote for the bill, 1348. And so we're hoping that the same thing happened in the afternoon, and that means the bill 1348, Senate Bill 1348, would be effectively killed, and that we would be saved from what I suspect is the worst bill in the country, for the country, up in front of the Senate right now. That would be essentially what Arnold Toynbee said, that all great nations commit die, and they all commit suicide, and that bill would be probably the nail on the final nail in the coffin of the United States of America if it ever passes. So keeping my fingers crossed that there's some kind of sanity bubbling up there in the United States Senate that will override men like Teddy Kennedy and Arlen Specter and John McCain and Hagel and Martinez and quite a few others like John Kyle. These men of power simply out of touch with the American public. I understand today that John Kyle has been shutting off his phone receivers to anybody that's against the amnesty, of which is 80-90% of the American public is so very angry about the lawlessness that has been pervading and then giving it legality. So in other words, they are going against the U.S. Constitution by not enforcing the laws and then turning right around and then making laws that allow lawlessness to prevail. It's frustrating. Is it frustrating to you in Boulder, Colorado? Or does it, do you see or do you have any appreciation for that kind of thing happening?
You know, it's a marvelous question, Frosty. It turns out in Boulder, Colorado, the vast majority of the folks that live in Boulder are for open borders. So I have a dilemma with most of my neighbors, but I try to keep it on the up and up. The summary you just gave is absolutely right on. The dilemma is that there are vested interests that have deep pockets, people like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and others, and Congress has learned to rely on these people for income and assets to get the things done that they need done. They contribute to the office fund. They loan airplanes for rides. There are lots of things that happen. And so the culture becomes corrupt. Now, these are good people, I think. People like John Kyle, he's a fine human being. But when you're gently, quietly corrupted, you begin to think in ways that you otherwise would not think. The dilemma is this. The number of illegal aliens, and that's the legal phrase used by the U.S. government, so I'll use it, in the country right now is 31 million, plus 13 million kids and grandkids for a total of 44 million. Now, that's a bunch of people. 90% of those people are very, very nice people. 10% aren't. But the dilemma is that the cost to culture, meaning the benefits costs that we must provide in order to help those folks survive, are very expensive.
Well, they certainly are. Robert Rector out of the Heritage Foundation stated the cost of giving amnesty to this huge group at the very bottom, and that's the very bottom of the figures of what they say is $12 million. He figured it out in his organization, $2.3 trillion, that's T as in Tom, trillion dollars. And it is promised that this human Katrina of people will create a bankruptcy of the United States of America that we shall not survive. And with the kinds of numbers that you're talking about, and I know that the Vanderbilt University study has given credence to those kinds of numbers, Bear Stearns has given tremendous credence to the numbers that you're stating, that most Americans, and certainly all those in the Congress, certainly men like Teddy Kennedy, who's the greatest socialist that ever walked, along with Pelosi and so forth, don't realize what they're taking away from future generations and certainly their own children. And so that's the crisis. And I guess we'll leave that behind, though, because we want to cover some very important aspects of this thing that if it did pass, the United States is assured of adding 100 million people in just, as Robert Rector said, just 20 years. By 2027, he expected 103 million added. And the Fogel-Martin 2006 report, U.S. population projections, said 100 million by 2040, which is only 33 years from now. And so between 20 years from now and 33 years from now, we're looking at 100 million people. And the ramifications, of course, have been covered, and we're going to continue to cover these in this book, The Next Added 100 Million Americans. And Part 4 talks about killing our oceans. One of the things in your world travels, could you just express what you've seen negatively out there on the oceans and some of the ramifications of what you've seen?
Yeah, I'll be glad to, Frosty. The magnitude, the scope and magnitude of the damage to the oceans, the phrase killing oceans is a proper phrase, is gigantic. I've had personal experience, for example, working in the Inner Hebrides with a bird called the Manx shearwater. We went there to try to figure out what was causing problem with the bird, and it turned out that the biggest problem with the bird was mercury poisoning, which we were not expecting. And it's insidious. The damage that's done to wildfowl, for example, is incredible. The ocean, as you know, has crevasses, has valleys, has deep areas. And the dilemma is that some of the heavier things, like the heavy metals, will tend to seek the areas that are the furthest down. The problem is that there is unusual growth in those areas that's been there forever. And when these poisons are introduced into the area, those growths that we're not even familiar with tend to disappear, so that we have not only above the ocean, meaning on the land and in the air, but below the ocean, we have thousands of species that are eradicated each year, and the payoff to us of those species is something we frequently are not aware of.
We certainly aren't. I'm looking at the, and I've kept this all these years, the August issue of Life magazine, 1991. It's titled Shark Alert, and it reports inside those pages, there's a big shark right on the front page, the age-old struggle between man and shark has become a killing frenzy. We slaughter 100 million sharks every year, driving them to extinction, unquote. Can you imagine 100 million? We'll be right back with more on the sharks. You're listening to Connecting the Dots. Thanks for joining Don McKee and Frosty Wooldridge. Be right back.
K Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, thank you very much for joining us at Connecting the Dots, and I'd like to really encourage each and every one of you who really appreciates the Republic Broadcasting. The pledge drive is still in force. Call 1-800-724-2719, and that's extension 116, and you can make a pledge, of course. You can also donate via PayPal at www.republicbroadcasting.org. There's no question that it takes a lot of money to have the producers and have the show and everything moving along and all the electrics and, oh, my gosh, phone calls, you name it. So anything you can do to help, you can send your donations also to the new address, RBN. That's 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, Double Creek Boulevard, number 302, Round Rock, Texas. And the zip is 78664. And for those of you who have never seen the unbelievably fantastic DVD, Freedom to Fascism by Aaron Rousseau, check that out and send a check in or call in and get your credit card going. $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling, and you will really have your hands on something that's just powerful. I talked to Aaron Rousseau a couple months ago. What a tremendous patriot he is. So, again, just get involved and be a part of the pledge drive and really help out Republic Broadcasting Network to keep this kind of programming there for you. Now, going back, my guest this evening is Don McKee with World Experiences. We're talking birds out there in the middle of the big oceans suffering from
mercury poisoning, and as I said, the 1991 issue of Life magazine. Well, guess what? Mother Jones News came up with the fact that 100 million sharks are still being slaughtered every year. In fact, the 2006 March issue right in front here, I've got it, Mother Jones News, titled Last Days of the Oceans, and researcher Julia Witte wrote, one of the biggest culprits is long lining, in which the single boat sets plastic line across 60 miles of ocean, each bearing ganglion lines that dangle at different depths, baited with 10,000 hooks designed to catch a variety of species. Each year, 2 billion longline hooks are set worldwide, primarily for tuna and swordfish, though longliners inadvertently kill far more species that take the bait, including 40,000 sea turtles, 300,000 seabirds, and 100 million sharks, unquote. So, Don, can you imagine 1991, here we are in 2007, and 100 million sharks being killed every year? Is it any wonder the oceans are being unbalanced just from the killing spree that's going on with the drift nets and these long lines and so forth? I mean, it's almost disheartening beyond understanding, really.
You know, it's interesting, Frosty. The average person that's walking on the face of the earth now is less and less aware of what I call strategic resources. When we have a culture that lives from day to day, the me culture, the now culture, and we don't pay attention to the future, then we don't invest time, energy, and money in strategic planning. It is not difficult to predict what the future is going to be. However, when we're selfish, when we pay more attention to ourselves and more attention to the here and now, we're inclined not to protect ourselves and our family and our community and the entire universe, if you will, for the future. Things like 100 million sharks, there is, I'm breathless. Our culture does not understand. For example, I'll make a good point. In North America, we have indigenous people that we call Indians. The Indians, the indigenous people in North America, have always been friends with rattlesnakes. When they're near a rattlesnake, they're aware. When they pass by the rattlesnake, they say hello and thank you. They don't get out a shovel or a gun and try to kill this animal. And the same thing goes for the sharks and everyone else. We need to get along in order to get along.
Well, we certainly do. And one of the other aspects that's so Witte talks about, and I talk about in this chapter 4, fishing fleets in the Gulf of Mexico have dropped the white-tipped shark population 99% since the 1950s, driving the species into virtual extinction. I've actually been scuba diving with white-tipped sharks, six-footers, and really they're quite the beautiful specimen to see there in the oceans, John Pennekamp Park in the Florida Keys there. And these sharks are thrown dead or dying back into the oceans once they're caught, and these unwanted species make up at least 25% of the global catch, as much as 88 billion pounds of life eliminated for no reason each year, Don. And one of the things that Witte brings out is the fact that those fishing trawlers cut loose thousands of miles of drift nets that get snagged on reefs, and those nets continue killing uncounted numbers of marine life by the millions for however long the plastic monofilament line lasts. And, of course, you and I both know that monofilament line lasts forever. and experts have said that the drift nets represent a clear cutting under the water where everything is destroyed. And it's been called raping the oceans with no moral or ethical responsibility. Can you tell the audience what would it take for a sea captain to go out into the oceans, get hung up with a 40-mile drift net, and then just cut it loose, knowing that it's going to do so much damage? What kind of people do that? And is there any possible way to change that?
You know, it's interesting because now you're getting into human behavior, ethics, and integrity. I refuse to believe that these are malicious people. They just cannot be. However, they need to be taught what the impact is of this dastardly behavior.
Well, they do. And we're going to come right back with Don McKee. You're listening to Connecting the Dots. And again, you're seeing some really horrific things going on at the bottom of our oceans. Thanks for joining us this evening. We'll be right back after these commercial breaks.
Oh. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Yes, indeed, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And as you can imagine, we're talking about some of the good, the bad, and the ugly here, and there's a whole bunch of ugly. If you consider the figure of 100 million sharks being killed off since 1991 each year annually through 2007, you've got, what, 1.6 million billion sharks altogether, because that's 100 million times all those years, 1.6 billion sharks for their fins, for human soup. If you add in the 300,000 birds annually, that's like 4.4 million seabirds killed in those 14 years or 15 years, 16 years. And then that's about half a million sea turtles killed, all for nothing. And one thing, can all of this and all the people that manufacture these products over the last 16 years, Don, can they not know that they're causing this kind of carnage in the oceans?
It's very clear that inside them, part of them knows, but the dilemma is the tradition in certain businesses, like whale hunting is a good example, is such that ingrained in the blood of each of these people that do this is this so-called right to fish, which in the old days didn't matter as much because there weren't as many people, there weren't as many bad effects, but now it's much, much worse. And so what we need to do is change our life, as my good friends like to tell me, get a life, so that we can understand that we're not superior, we're all in this together. The whales have the same rights, if you want to look at it that way, as we do, and we need to stop this this maniacal attitude. It's funny because it's the same attitude that we express when we go off into other countries as an imperialist, if you will, and try to tell them how to live their lives. It's just not smart. And the dilemma is that it's universal. It's across all cultures, all professions. So the fisherman that you're talking about right now is not at all alone.
No, he isn't. And whether it's in Japan or whether it's in America or whether it's in Finland or certainly in Norway, the kind of killing that's going on, the shark killing, certainly the whale killing, and even the Japanese herd those dolphins into the different pens and they slaughter them just because they don't want them out there in the oceans eating up the other fish in the oceans around Japan. So it's a pretty ugly thing, and I've seen it up close and personal, and it kind of sickens me. Now, whatever life remains in the Gulf of Mexico also suffers from what is called a dead zone, which is an area of ocean filled with human chemicals so toxic that few fish species can withstand it or reproduce. A deadly conveyor belt known as the Mississippi River delivers nitrogen-laced, chemically active fertilizers, herbicides, and pesticides by the millions of gallons hourly, 24 hours a day. And the latest research shows a 3,000-square-mile dead zone beginning at the mouth of Old Man River. Any chance that anyone, of course, that's responsible for that, could change that, or do we want to, or will we? I mean, and that's just here in the United States, which is much more responsible. If you look at the Yangtze River, it's probably 10 times worse, because I've been on the Yangtze River, and it's nothing but a giant sewage of a conveyor belt. So what a horrible thing that we're doing right there in the Gulf of Mexico.
You ask a great question, Frosty. It turns out that we need to change our attitude about life. We need to look at being personally responsible, and that's underlined, personally responsible, rather than pointing a finger out there at some corporation or some group. We need to take a look at our own personal habits and how we do things that are contributory. Answering the question about the dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico, thanks to new technology, satellites, things like that, we're able to see what we couldn't see before. And so you can actually watch that dead zone move. It shifts depending on weather, depending on season. And if you're down in the western coast of Florida, for example, you see things like red tide in magnitudes that we never saw before. So the impacts are on us. Meaning if you take your family down to the west coast of Florida for a vacation and they cannot go into the Gulf of Mexico to swim, that's a huge difference in your vacation. So we need to take a look at how we personally are contributing in our area, because our area is interconnected to all of the areas that we're talking about. So we have a personal responsibility, and then we need to help people like the shark fishermen and others understand that the old rules need to change.
You certainly hit that one on the head. They need to change, and they need to change pretty quickly, because everyone out there listening tonight, how many of you have Roundup or Weed and Feed or some kind of a pesticide or some kind of a herbicide or some kind of any kind of chemical killer that you put on your tomato plants, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Those are the things that always go down into the water systems and finally flush out into the oceans, and the ocean is the final toilet. And that toilet is really, I'm going to read it right here from this close to, and I'm quoting Witte here, close to 50 hypoxic dead zones fester on the coasts of the continental United States of America, she reported. The situation is far worse in Europe, with 14 persistent dead zones that never go away, and almost 40 others occurring annually, the biggest and worst being the 27,000-square-mile dead zone in the Baltic Sea, which I saw when I traveled through there last year, a year ago, which equals the landmass of North Carolina. These kinds of dead zones are the result of everybody pouring their poisons in. At what point do we have an understanding that, much like the global warming, the debate that's going on right now, what about the dead zones? Can we have a consciousness shift on this thing, Don?
I don't think we have a choice, meaning the human culture, human beings, are capable of almost everything. As children of God, we can go in any direction we want to go. We can make war, or we can make peace. We can make a mess in the ocean, or we can contribute to cleaning up the mess in the ocean. If you look at history, great companies like General Electric poisoned the Hudson River, and they didn't know that they were doing that. That wasn't intentional. And yet the Hudson River goes down through New York City and out into an area in the ocean between New York, Massachusetts, New Jersey, and the city of New York, astoundingly, still continues to dump their garbage. They take barges out there and dump their garbage. The old-fashioned way, the way of quick and dirty, cheap and easy, needs to change, and we need to understand that nothing comes for free. So we have to pay more for fuel for a good reason, and we have to pay more for disposal. And quite frankly, we need to learn how not to make so much trash, how not to pollute the oceans and the rivers. And there are ways that we can use to make sure that we don't do that.
Well, there's no question that we need to move in that direction. I do remember, this was like 20 years ago, that that New York City was dumping, I think it was 10 tons every 2 days of raw sewage that got pumped out into the ocean 10 miles away through these big pipes, and it was just killing everything on the greater banks out there, all the fishing. So then pretty soon they started loading it into giant container ships and then shipping it out at 20 miles, and then it was destroying the fishing banks 20 miles because this was raw sewage. I mean, this was all the stuff we flushed down the toilets. And finally, they had to start making water treatment and sewage treatment plants to return the water back to its normal state. So it can be done, and it must be done, and it must come from a change of thinking, which then creates a change of action. Does the United States have enough personal integrity, and can it lead the rest of the world? Because I know down in South America, there's nothing but raw sewage being pumped right out there out of Rio, and San Paulo just pumps it into the rivers, and all of South America pretty much doesn't have much to do with any kind of environmental responsibility. Do we just go to the edge until we destroy so much of everything that we're forced to, or can we be proactive?
I think we can be proactive, and I'll use an example. It turns out that the estrogen drugs that have been used for birth control in the U.S. and other places are passed through the body into the urine. Urine then is deposited in the sewage treatment plants. And in the old days, the sewage treatment plants, not being aware that that was a problem, were not treating the estrogen. So an example, in the city of Boulder, which is a pretty pristine place, the effluent downstream from on Boulder Creek from the sewage treatment plant, they were finding fish that had both male and female reproductive organs, both. And this was traced to the effluent, which was discovered to have this high component of estrogen. What we need to do is at the front end take a look at things like birth control and ask ourselves, is there a way that we can do birth control without causing the fish to have double reproductive organs? Now, that kind of thinking is pretty heady until you go talk to a child in the fifth grade. They know how to do that. They can figure that out. And so our future is our children. And thank God we've got a bunch of bright children, so the future looks good.
It has possibilities for, you know, changing, especially if we can educate them and enlighten them. I spoke to 300 of them just last week, and they had some great questions. I got a bunch of thank you notes today. You know, one of the other things that's going on around the world is the reefs are getting killed, and they're getting, likewise, the kelp beds are dying at an alarming rate. In fact, 75% are gone from Southern California, victims of the demise of the sea otters that regulate the populations of kelp-eating sea urchins. And what this, of course, shows you is that everything is interconnected. The web of life depends on the web of life operating, and that every person, every animal, every creature, every plant becomes the symbiotic aspect of that. And one of the things that's happening right now is that we're burning 84 million barrels of oil worldwide every day. And of course, that's putting huge carbon dioxide changes into the ocean pH levels and causing so much of the coral reefs that are plagued because of that, because of the changes in the pH. Any chance that or we can we get to some kind of an alternative to burning fossil fuels before we just literally destroy all those reefs and other aspects of the oceans?
I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but the answer is the same. We have to. We do not have a choice. When you, and you and I talked earlier, when you look at what's happening at the Solar Energy Research Institute, which happens to be located in Golden, Colorado, and you look at the other places around the world where people are looking at hydrogen as a fuel, for example, we're beginning to realize that there are alternatives, and they may seem costly at first, but the more you look at it, the more you realize that they're not as expensive as you think. And in fact, most big companies are discovering to their amazement that as they clean up their processes in order to reduce the pollution, they are actually increasing the profit factor, which they never realized before. By that I mean, if people don't think with impact in mind, and you made an incredible mention when you mentioned John Pennekamp Park, which is in Key Largo. The reefs off Pennekamp Park have been slowly diminishing,
right.
And that was discovered to be related to shipping, meaning the large oil-containing ships will clean their hulls on the outside and the inside using processes that wind up killing the reefs. Now, these guys, I'm quite sure, did not realize that what they were doing was going to have that impact. So as the rules are tightened up, and Florida is a very good example, they have really tightened up. They have patrols out there that watch, and it's funny, the cruise ships are also terrible contaminators of the ocean. So once we get each of these small components cleaned up, then the larger magnitude process is reduced.
That's true. Let's go into that. I've got tidbits here. Cruise ships produce 30,000 gallons of sewage and 19 tons of garbage daily, which is dumped into the oceans in defiance of international laws. That's part of this research that I did. I mean, what kind of a moral, ethical question does that beg when somebody on a cruise ship, the captain, sends down to the crew and says, yeah, dump 30,000 gallons of sewage and 19 tons of garbage into the gosh darn ocean a day in defiance of international laws? How? What kind of compunction? I mean, that's a lack of compunction, a lack of responsibility. I mean, does that just, it makes me just seethingly upset.
Makes me upset, too. And as a passenger, as a person who buys a ticket, you have the power. Find out in advance which shipping companies, which cruise ships, if you will, do that and which don't, and make sure that you buy a ticket on the ones that are behaving themselves.
I would agree. Same thing when you buy things. Groton Seafoods, here's another tidbit, has killed 2,700 whales against international laws in the guise of scientific research. So anybody out there that would like to make a statement, call into Groton's and give, you know, if you see the food and the phone number and the 800, give them a piece of your mind, because there's no need to kill any of these whales, and many of them are, of course, on the endangered species list for the last 30, 40 years now. And that's the kind of thing going on that just doesn't need to happen, because no one needs to kill whales anymore for oil or otherwise. Also, toxic PCBs are regulated by the FDA, but the FDA allows such high levels of cancer-causing PCBs in farmed salmon that if they were present in a wild salmon, the EPA would restrict consumption to one meal per month. Does that take your breath away?
Certainly does. It's interesting because you and I have both spent a lot of time on the ocean and in the ocean, and I'm having memories right now of traveling on a hobbycat along the shore of Florida where the porpoise keep you company. They play. They
right.
Crisscross the wake and behave just as your boat does. And then I have memories of off the west coast of Scotland. There are little whales called winky whales, and minke whales. They're not little, but they're substantially littler than the larger whales, who
right.
do the same thing. They're playful. They move along with your ship. If you've had that personal experience, then your ability to be foolish is diminished. Your ability to contaminate is reduced because you have a closed-loop awareness of how wonderful these other creatures really are.
Yeah, and I actually had up close and personal relationships with those minke whales down there in Antarctica when they came in to McMurdo there, and I filmed them, and just like, my God, these beautiful creatures, they're diving right next to me, they're blowing mist into the air. It was quite a thing. And then, of course, I get back to a quick trip west of San Francisco during our nuclear expansion in 1945 shows the U.S. dumped 400 barrels of radioactive waste 20 miles offshore. And when I wrote this piece, a recent CBS report showed all 400 barrels ruptured their contents and dissolved into the Pacific Ocean. And then you come down here in Alaska, and it shows that polar bears struggle and drown with vanishing ice packs because they must swim too far because of the warming of the polar caps. But worse, toxic chemicals plague also the ice bears. Researcher Marla Cohn wrote, "Polar bear cubs already harbor more pollutants in their bodies than most other creatures on the planet. Mother polar bears store a lifetime of chemicals in their fat and bequeath them via their milk to their young. Several hundred of the industrialized world's most toxic chemicals, like PCBs and organochlorine pesticides such as DDT, have transformed the Arctic into a chemical repository." And, of course, then those creatures are becoming part of that food chain and, of course, then become polluted and contaminated. Kind of takes your breath away. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Don McKee, and we're giving you a rendition of what and how we're getting pollution in the oceans, and we'll be right back after these commercial comments to finish up with this particular part.
World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at stovesandmoreonline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action!
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Attention gardeners, if you've ever wanted to grow the absolute best tasting fruits and vegetables imaginable, well, here's exciting news. There's a new product called ProtoGrow, and it's dynamite in the garden. ProtoGrow is a bioactive superfood for plants. It works by providing true broad spectrum nutrition, allowing plants to achieve their full genetic expression. So what does this mean in the garden? It means mouth-watering fruits and vegetables, brilliantly colored flowers, herbs that finally grow to medicinal strength, blue ribbon garden produce jam-packed with bioavailable minerals and trace elements, giant pumpkins, even high-potency Hybrix wheatgrass. ProtoGrow is a proprietary blend of full-spectrum nutrients from the sea. It literally contains the basic building blocks of life itself. In fact, ProtoGrow is so effective at producing rapid plant growth in record time that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. To grow tasty fruits and vegetables right now, go to growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking with Don McKee. We're talking about poisoning the oceans. We're talking about what we can do individually. Don, you and I have seen a great deal in our years on this planet, and hopefully we bring a message that it can be changed for the better. The fact is, if we continue as the human race is right now, we're going to add another 3 billion people to the planet to exacerbate that much more population damage. And here in the United States, another 100 million people. If you had the powers that, if you were the president of the United States right now, or you were the top dog of the environmental EPA, whatever, what things would you do? What would you implement to help the United States and the American people to become more responsible to this planet and certainly to our oceans?
Number one, I would extend our help to other people, meaning the so-called Peace Corps can be very, very useful in other nations. And working with churches and not-for-profits, I would help people in other nations. And at the same time, I personally would put a 7-year moratorium on all immigration in the USA, every bit all immigration. And the reason I say that is our population had stabilized. Our birth rate was balanced, and things were going well. But in the past 20 years or so, the huge increases in population in the U.S. have been only because of the immigration. I would also work with and help to incentivize the colleges and universities in this country, because our need to bring in more people is because we've been lazy in terms of education. We've been lazy in terms of training. We have also been very lazy in terms of trying to mechanize some of the agricultural things, so that things like picking tomatoes can be done easier, etc. We need to change our attitude and incentivize so that we can balance things instead of being mean and vicious about subjects like immigration.
You know, and one other thing that I think goes with that is leadership really starts when a responsible nation, and certainly a first world nation, takes the helm, if you will. How can we jump our own leaders to take the helm and make a difference?
You know, it's interesting, because making this kind of an investment in the kinds of things you and I are talking about is less expensive than it is to advance imperialism and go to other countries with armies, if you will. Other countries can work things out if we leave them alone. We cannot go around telling other people what to do, and it's much better to work arm in arm with other people to resolve and solve the issues that we've been talking about for the past hour.
Well, that's a fact, and I'm thankful for you to have all this expertise in this arena, and certainly all the experiences. I think together, hopefully, everyone out there tonight has an appreciation of what's going on under the water that's really doing a tremendous amount of damage to our oceans. If you would like to make some difference, these two websites are really powerful. www.savetheoceans.org. Savetheoceans.org, all one word, and www.greenpeace.org. I've been a member of Greenpeace now 30 years, and some people will say, oh, they're terrible, they're saying, I don't care what you think. They're making a difference, a cause and effect here. So at www.greenpeace.org, get involved with them. Any last comment, Don, before we are done for the evening, sir?
I just want to thank you, Frosty. It's important that people do things like you and I are doing, and so thanks for the opportunity.
My pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Don McKee. We together want to keep bringing you this series, and we will. His expertise and my research, I think you'll really be well-educated, and the key is to take education after take action after you're educated. And so thank you, Don McKee. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us here on Connecting the Dots. And remember, no man in the wrong can stand up against the man in the right that keeps on a-coming. Captain McDonald of the Texas Rangers. This is Don McKee and Frosty Wooldridge signing out. The 21st Century Paul Revere Riders. Good night, Godspeed, and God bless.
A message for all.